thought for today. Wealth is knowable. Wealth is knowable. Wealth is knowable. Did you realize that? Did you realize that wealth is knowable? Yeah? You did. Love, our little mini pin here. He realizes that wealth is noble. Do you know why he realizes that wealth is noble? Because he's wealthy. He lives on a 104-acre ranch, and he has 3 or 4 acres penned in here that are his private domain, and he lives here in this small section, but yet he can go out in the big section and run around whenever we take him out for a walk. We have thousands of BLM land acres around us that he can go on in when we take a walk there. And he had just a wonderful time. He has his food served to him. He has all of his needs met. If he needs a vet for any reason, he is instantly taken to the vet. If he needs to be brushed, we brush him. If he needs his toenails clipped, we clip his toenails for him. We take care of his face where he has the little tear ducts that seem to run occasionally, and we rinse off his face and take away the dust. He sleeps under my cover every night, has the warmth of my body plus his own to keep him cozy. And after I get up in the morning, he stays in bed until he hears the microwave oven go clink, clink, which means that it's time for his morning wiener and his morning treat. And he comes out immediately from under the covers and stands there looking at me saying, "All right, you've had your time, now move it. Get going. I'm waiting. I'm a hungry boy." And so I get going and prepare everything for him just beautifully. And then after he's done, he takes his toys and he plays. And he wants me to play all day long with him with his toys. And I say to him, "Son, I have other things to do." He says, "You have nothing to do but be my dad. Nothing to do but play with me. Nothing to do but take care of my needs. Nothing to do but pet me and make me happy and take me for walks and let me know that you're there when I need you. You have nothing to do." You see, he's wealthy. He's wealthy, and he will always be wealthy. Should he ever leave here and go to live in another home, he'd live in a wealthy home. Should he ever decide to have homes of his own in Paris and Switzerland and Germany and Spain, in the Philippines, in Australia, New Zealand, in America, South America, no matter where he'd have a home, it would be a wealthy home. There'd always be plenty of love. That would be the big commodity there. And lots of food and lots of tender, loving care for whatever his needs are. Now, is that a knowable wealth? Very much so. That's a knowable wealth. But let's talk about another wealth. A wealth that goes far deeper than all the external wealth. A wealth that wells up from our heart. A wealth that comes from our very soul and says, "Yes, yes, yes." Now, you may think it's difficult to describe such a wealth, but it's not. For to begin with, such a wealth is the wealth that you delight in getting up in the morning. You have a healthy body. You live in a mentally healthy body. You speak your word, "I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body." You affirm that just as though that is the most natural thing in the world. "I am Herb Byerly. I live at 1101 Far Valley Road, Campo, California. I am here. I am a man. I am alive. I am joyous." Now, all that aside, that certainly is wealth, but all that aside, I take my morning walk, and the moon is still up in the sky, lighting my path. And I say, what a glorious moon. Then I look around at the stars, and they're all crystal clear and bright and sharp in the dark, dark black sky. Each star stands out and says, good morning, Herb. How many servants could I have in my castle who would bring me breakfast and open the door for me, who would treat me as a wonderful master? How many servants could I have that could even begin to compare to the stars in the sky? All I have to do is look up there and they twinkle at me. They say, good morning, Herb. I say, good morning, 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 good morning. Susan, all together.
Good morning, Herb, good morning, Herb, good morning, Herb.
I'm talking to the stars, but thank you very much for responding. I see you recognize that you're one of the stars. That's beautiful. Now, when I say together, I'm talking to all the stars in the sky together. I presume Susama means together. So, I could say, good morning, Mithanan. Gros morgen, Mithanan. Gris Gott, Mithanan. The God in me greets the God in you, one and all. Speaking to all the universe. See, the Swiss do have occasionally a good phrase, don't they? They come up with something good once in a while. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? So, you look up to the sky and you say, wow! Now, would a poor man look up at the sky and say, wow? He'd say, I don't have a roof over my head. He would say, it's cold out here. And what do I say? I walk naked through the morning sky, and I say, I feel wonderful. Now, the temperature is between 40 and up. When it's under 40, I usually put something on. It's a little cool. But it wouldn't have to be cool. But if anyone saw me, they would think I'm crazy. And it's bad enough they think I'm crazy at over 40 degrees. But I'm a happy person. I'm a wealthy person. I am wealth because it's knowable. It's something that I know. Okay. We could finish off the sky by saying we look at the sunrise and we say, wow, what a glorious sunrise. Just look at that sun beaming up over there, bringing all the light into my world. And we look at the sunset and we say, wow, look at all that color. Look at all the clouds bursting into their colors. Then the sun gets down below the clouds from our perspective and shines up underneath the clouds, making them all red. Glorious wealth, untold, unimagined. So, I go down to the ocean and I look at the sea. From my point of view, it's endless. I look out there, it just goes, 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 goes. I see to the horizon. If I were to be in an airplane, I could see over the horizon. I could see both sides of the ocean at the same time, perhaps, if I were high enough, like the astronauts do. But they don't fly normal planes that high. But I can look at the pictures that the astronauts took and say, wow, what a beautiful world we live in. Is that what it really looks like? I've seen maps of it. I've seen drawings of it. But wow, I'm the wealthiest man in the world. I have right in front of me the entire world. And a couple of pictures, it's just churning. I see the European side, I see the eastern and western hemispheres, I see northern and southern hemispheres. Wow! Who could be so wealthy as to have it right in front of their eyes? You'd have to be God to do that. Well, perhaps we are God. Not perhaps. We can say, I am God. I mean, who else but God could conceive and see the picture? Who else but God could do such a noble and wonderful, glorious thing? And the wealth of God, boy, you know, if I had to go out and pay for the photography equipment that was used to take those pictures from outer space, That'd be a bundle. But you see, I am wealth. And as wealth, I do not need to spend money. I merely think my thought, and that which I desire is manifest for me. I think my thought, and that which I desire is in my world. I would like a nice car to go into town today. And Ellen says, we have some errands to run, we have things to pick up, we'll have to take the bigger car. And I thought I'd take my little Miata and just cruise into town and just have a lovely day. But Ellen says we have to work. Well, that's just fine. That doesn't bother me. I have to take that big, comfortable car into town. And I have to sit in that big, comfortable leather seat, adjusting it with electric engines to make the motor go, the seat go up and down and back and forth. I have to turn on the heater or air conditioner or whatever it is that pleases me in the car. I have to turn on the stereo system and listen to my classical discs, CD discs that we buy. I have to do that. I have to be a wealthy man. A wealthy man I am. See, that's what wealthy people do. Of course, I could say, hey, star, come down here and tune the radio for me. And the star would say, sure, boss. What station do you want? I don't know, something nice and musical. Sure, glad to do it. And then, click, there it is. I didn't see you do that, star. Hey, there's a lot of things you don't see me do. Wealth is knowable. And it's not, all right, let's just take Bill Gates for a minute with his $78 billion. Has Bill Gates been honest about it? No. Bill Gates doesn't have the slightest idea how much money he has. He is told by his accountant how much he has. But has he gone into the bank and counted each one of those dollars himself? If he did, he'd have no time for anything else. But you see, it's knowable, but that's not the knowable kind of wealth we want. If you're a millionaire and you have to count $1 million, you'd be glad to do it because it's yours, but what a waste of time. Rather go out and enjoy it, spend it, use it, let it grow, let it build, let it do wonderful things for you. Many times there are these shows on the movies. And it's usually about some young fellow who has just received great wealth because his uncle died or somebody else like that died in his family. And he's now a multi-millionaire. And so the limousine company sends a car over to his primitive home and says, it's okay, no problem, just get in, go where you want to go. In fact, we know where you're going. Oh, you do? I don't know where I'm going. We're taking you to the haberdashers. We're buying you some new clothes, new shoes, new hat, new clothes. But I don't have any money yet. But you do. Your uncle died, left you millions of dollars, and it's all yours. I know, but I don't have it yet. We know your wealth is knowable. And so then you go to a restaurant, and the maitre d' at the restaurant says, well, come in, Mr. Wealthy. It's so nice to see you today. How wonderful that you have just come upon this great fortune. Sit right down. Here is our best table in the house. Now, what kind of wine would you like? Let me choose it for you. Let us choose the best of the house. Let us choose the most wonderful steak. Or you're vegetarian? Okay. We will call in our vegetarian cook. Our vegetarian cook is down the street working at our vegetarian restaurant. And we will have them make a vegetarian meal for you. Is there anything of your pleasure? Oh, you are so wonderful. Wealth is knowable. Wealth is knowable. Fantastic, isn't it? Now, how is it knowable? How is wealth knowable? Wealth is knowable because just saying, I am wealthy, you are wealthy. My uncle died and left me $1 billion. Wow, let's go and have fun. And then the news gets out in the newspapers. See, it's knowable. And everybody says, oh, he's a wealthy guy. Oh, he's a wealthy guy. Well, why not even say it otherwise? Why not say I'm a wealthy guy? Why not say, I am wealth. I am wealth. I am independently wealthy. Why not say those things about ourselves? Why not know those things about ourselves? Why are we playing this game of not knowing it? Why are we playing this game of pretending that it's not so? Wealth is knowable. If these people, that their uncle dies and leaves them money, and immediately everybody knows about it, why not you and I? Charles Fillmore of Unity, he's the founder of Unity with his wife Myrtle, and Charles went into the bank one day after having Unity going along pretty well, and he wanted to buy some printing presses for his plant on Tracy Street in Kansas City, where I work too. And as he went into the banker says, well, what collateral do you have? And Charles Fillmore stuck out his chest and said, I have a very wealthy father. Oh, you're welcome to have the loan, Mr. Fillmore. What, how much do you want? What, whatever you need. He didn't even ask who his father was. He believed him because he spoke with such confidence. Now, what was Charles Fillmore referring to? He's referring to his wealthy father, the divine within him. He wasn't lying because Charles Fillmore believed that's his father. Who is your father? Is it your daddy who had the sperm that went into the egg that brought you forth? Or is it the divine within you? Is it your God self? Is that who your father is? Really, that's who our father is. Our real families, like Richard Bach says in Illusions, are not those of flesh and blood, but those who walk with us on the path, those who care about us, those who know the truth about us, those who lift us up. Always in their consciousness, seeing us as masters, seeing us as fabulous. Can you do that for yourself? Why not? Why not? How often do we say to our little children, oh, you're doing fine, son, and he's doing miserable. You're doing fine, son. Oh, you've made great progress. I can't stand to hear another note on that piano. Please hit the right notes, you say to yourself. You don't say to him. You say, keep at it, son, you'll make it. Keep at it, you're doing just fine. And she goes out of the house to tolerate it. And he is doing fine. He keeps at it. And in not too long a time, a month, not too long a time, he begins to hit the right notes. He begins to even enjoy doing what he's doing. He begins to be creative. He begins to play the music that's on the sheet, not just the music that's in his head. But the mother saw past the illusion of the terrible sounds that came from the piano to the possibility within that child lay that wonderful musician that she knew was there. She knew it because her uncle had been a musician, her father was a musician, her brothers were musicians, her sisters were musicians, her aunts were musicians. The family is just musical. The kid's got to be musical. Now, the kid may never have thought of being musical, but the mother thought the kid was musical, and the kid can be anything. And it doesn't hurt the kid to be musical, because if the kid develops a musical talent, he will have developed the key to the universe, music and or math, and or, and music and math, music or math, are the key to all knowledge, all wisdom, all in the universe. It's the stability. It's the mathematical stability. Beautiful. Beautiful. Do we have the strength to see our children through that sort of thing, or ourselves? I bought all of you guitars in the School of the Master. What a apparent waste. Well, perhaps some of you are practicing now. Perhaps some of you are not practicing now. Perhaps some of you care. Perhaps some of you don't. Perhaps some of you will put the guitar away, and they're good guitars. They're top-of-the-line guitars. And it'll gather dust, and your grandchildren will come along and play it someday, perhaps. But they were given to you each as a gift. They were given to you each to be wonderful. And the amount of money that was paid by any individual to attend the School of the Masters was returned to them in food, was returned to them in gadgets, in things like guitars and so forth, was returned to them in measure overflowing, because each guitar was, what, $900, something like that. It's a lot of money for a guitar. But I felt we should have quality guitars, because we're quality people. We're in the School of the Master. I bought so many guitars, they gave them to me at $600 each, but they're $900 guitars. And that's pretty nice, isn't it? That's really pretty nice. So, take these gifts. You're wealthy. You don't have any dime store guitar or any Costco guitar or whatever, Fry's electronics guitar where they're $169 for a nice little guitar, you know. You have a quality instrument there, just like you are quality. Just like you are noble wealth. Just like you are fantastic. Just like you are magnificent. Just like you are God. Now, God don't make no junk, as the little boy says in the drawing. God don't make no junk. And you don't make no junk. Everything you do is infinite wealth, infinite abundance, infinite joy, infinite peace, infinite goodness. All that you do. You are wealth knowable. And start enjoying it. Start spending it. Start looking into yourself and seeing how wonderfully made you are. I mean, what an architect put us together. Wow. Start looking into yourself and see how grandly made you are, how perfectly you stood, and how the neck bones connect to the head bone, the head bones connect to the backbone, and so forth, you see. It's all a conjoined thing, beautifully designed. Praise it. Delight in it. Don't say, oh, this damn back, I got a backache. Oh, this wonderful back is whole and perfect. This wonderful back is whole and perfect. Remember our story about the Marines this morning? Sit up straight and tall like the Marines. You can lean back and you can slouch and you can do all those things, but the minute you lean back and you slouch, you just threw away half of your wealth. Because half of your wealth is your appearance. Your belief in yourself, your confidence and your knowing in yourself, who you are and what you are. That's half your wealth. Now, what are you doing with your wealth? How are you arranging it? How are you living with it? Good question, isn't it? How are you living with your wealth? How are you experiencing it? Are you recognizing it? Wealth is knowable. I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy. I have a beautiful car, I have a beautiful home, I have beautiful... Start with what's important. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. I know all the answers to life. That's knowable wealth. Because once you know who you are, you cannot act differently. Once you know that you're God, once you know that you're Master, once you know that you're the creator of your world, you cannot blame somebody else for whatever experiences you have. You cannot say, it's somebody else's fault that I'm not successful. You cannot say that. The saying is, it takes luck to get a job. But it takes effort, it takes persistence to be a success on the job. And I don't think it takes luck to get a job. I think it takes choice. Choice. Most people would like to have a high-paying job, but very few people would like to take the responsibility that goes with it. Now just think of this. If I pay you minimum wage, and you work according to minimum wage, and you're doing good as a sweeper or as a janitor or as a stock boy or something like that, you're doing good. But then all of a sudden the idea comes to you, if we would arrange this stock like this and put it in alphabetical order instead of helter-skelter, then it would be easy to find. And so without asking, you go and, because there's no order to it, without asking, you start putting it in order. You put the A's here, the B's here, the C's, and it takes you maybe a month to get everything in order, because you just do it as you go along. And you clear off the shelves next to the C's, and then you put the C's there. You clear off the shelf next to the D's, and you put the E's there. And so on across the alphabet. And pretty soon you've got the whole warehouse beautifully organized. And then your supervisor reports that to the boss. Well, I got the whole warehouse beautifully organized now in A to Z, and I planned this whole thing and did this whole thing. And the boss says, oh, hey, that's great. Who was your helper? Anita. She is my helper. Well, I'd like to talk to Anita. And so, sure. So he sends Anita in, and the boss says, well, Anita, I see that you've arranged everything from A to Z. Where'd you get that idea from? And Anita said, well, I just thought it would be a lot easier if we had some order in the stockroom so that we could pick things up and do things in an orderly way. But the way it had been done was, you know, just helter-skelter, and you spend half the time looking instead of, you know, servicing the customers. And the boss says, hey, that's cool. Anita, do you have any more ideas? Well, yes, I do. I think that instead of alphabetizing it, if we would have it by number, that would be even better, because we're using stock numbers. And that way, if we'd rearrange everything and have it by number, it'd be much easier to find everything, because we're not looking for names that have A, B, A, B, E, A, B, C, and, you know, and, hey, that's a great idea. Now, how did you go about doing this? Did you ask for permission to do this, to put it A to Z? No. I just cleaned it up and orderly, because it was all scattered, and I had to do something to make my work a little more interesting, because I wasn't challenged by the way it was before. I was challenged in trying to find something, but I wasn't challenged effectively. And he said, well, I tell you what, you go ahead and you put it by the numbers, but don't tell anybody what you're doing. You just do it like you did before, and let's see what happens. And Anita says, okay. But you mean I can't tell anybody, not even my boss? No, especially not your boss. You just do it like you did before. So Anita starts going, arranging everything by the stock number. And she's got everything ordered by stock number. And then her boss comes in. What the hell are you doing here? You had this alphabetical now. Look, there's no order to it anymore. And Anita says, yes, there is. It's by stock number. By stock number, I wanted this alphabetical. Now put it back alphabetical. And Anita says, whatever you say, sir. And then the boss comes in, the big boss. And he says, well, what's this? Not alphabetical anymore? And he says, no, sir. I thought it might be better to put it by stock number, so I put it by stock number. But my supervisor said I have to put it back by alphabet. And so the boss calls the supervisor in the office and says, supervisor, you are a good man. I'm going to move you to another department because I feel you'd be more effective there. I need someone with your ability in this other department. And so he moves the person to the other department, and then he moves Anita up to supervisor. Now, Why? Because Anita is poor, because Anita doesn't follow directions, but because Anita was creative, imaginative. She used the wealth that was knowable in her and applied it to what she was doing, and she was fantastic. And of course, this is what all of us can do. All of us can experience knowable wealth by using that inner genius within us, by using that presence of the divine within us, and just having a marvelous, wonderful time. Wealth is knowable. That's our thought for today. Believe it. It is.